called Seek Not Outside Yourself. It's in chapter 29. It's page 617. So let's just take a minute to take a breath and get centered. Let's just try to remind ourselves, just for a second, remind yourself why you are here, why you decided to come, you know, what your purpose is. Remind yourself that there's an answer. There's an answer to things that you are going through right now that you may be using to give yourself some kind of stress in some way. That even if it seems like there's been no solution in your perception to whatever it is, remind yourself that there's something within you that knows. There's someone within you that knows. There's a part of you that knows. There's a part of you that's conscious. There's a part of you that's powerful. There's a part of you that's spiritual. There's a part of you that's unlimited. There's a part of you that is love. There's a part of you that is not afraid. There's a part of you that's calm. There's a part of you that is not disturbed by the illusions of the world and the different things that we're going through in the world. We want to try to access the other part of ourselves that we don't normally access during the day. This is our hour of peace. This is our hour to release. This is our hour to let go. This is our hour to just be. This is where we come because we really want to hear something different from what we normally hear. This is where we come to join. This is where we come to remember our oneness. There are lots of chairs downstairs, and there may even be some in there. I decided at the last minute to move it up here because it was simply too cold downstairs, and I didn't want everybody to be uncomfortable. So it was a last minute shift, and that's why it's not a lot of chairs up here. But feel free to get you one and bring it in. The section that I'm going to talk about today is called Seek Not Outside Yourself. So the Course says, seek not outside yourself, for seeking outside yourself will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. And the Course in Miracles definition of an idol is anything that you'd rather believe about anything other than the truth. So an idol is anything that you would give your peace away about. An idol is anything that your definition of it is more real to you or more valid to you than spirit's definition of what that is. So it says an idol is anything I want to believe, anything that if I did not have that thing, then I give my peace away about. And when I heard that definition, it became very obvious that 99% of everything that I liked was an idol. Because if we were not getting upset about something that wasn't going the way we wanted to go, we'd all be smiling and joyous and happy and peaceful all day. So basically, the thing that we're upset about would have to always be something that's not within us. Because if we knew it was within us, we wouldn't be upset about not having it. Isn't that reasonable? So in a sense, the only thing you can be upset about is an idol. Because everything that you need is inside of you. Everything we need is within us. So in a sense, I'm walking around upset all day about something that really has nothing to do with me.
Like,
Right. So it says, now, and when the course, and I love the line, it says, and you will weep each time an idol falls. So in most cases, whenever a person is crying, it's because some false idea or some illusion or something that they value has not happened or has changed. And a lot of people say, well, what about loved ones? What about things like that? Well, at the level of the body, of course, it looks like we would miss a loved one that wasn't in the physical body anymore. But if a person is really aware of their spiritual identity and really aware of the truth, then they know that what we really are is something that survives death, and what we really are is an unlimited being, and what we really are is spiritual. And so who we really are never dies, but we're not in touch with who we really are. We're in touch with our perceptions of what we think we are. We're not in touch with what we really are. We just see our perceptions of what we think we are. And so the truth is, every time I cry, it's because I fell in love with something that is not real. I fell in love with a part of something that does not continually exist. So the purpose of the course is to remove the blocks that will take us from a temporary happiness to a permanent happiness. So it's really a book about how can I get in touch with what's real that I can always depend on and that will always be there, as opposed to, can you give me another way to get another temporary thing that I think I'd like that would give me some pleasure. That's two different goals. See the difference? This is different from a book on how to manifest a trip to Hawaii. Okay, this is not a manifestation class. This is a class that's about how can I remove the blocks that keep me from being aware that I'm whole and complete, and that I'm powerful, and that I'm loved, and that I'm not alone, and that I have peace inside of me that I can tap into that would never be disturbed by anything that's going on in the outer world. This is a class about how do I get in touch with inner peace. It's not a class about how do I get a better career, how do I get a better job, how do I get a better car, how do I lose 10 pounds, how do I get a mate, how do I have better sex. That's not this class. And so the reason why I say that, even though it seems like it would be an obvious thing, I think sometimes what makes it difficult to really appreciate the power of what the course is offering is that that's primarily what we're looking for. And so this might be another way to get that. And so it's trying to let us know that heaven, which it calls perfect happiness, it says perfect and complete happiness cannot be found where it's not. That you can never find your happiness where it's not located. If somebody's looking for you in the pavilions right now, they're not going to find you. I don't care how positive they are. Right? I don't care how brilliant they are. You're not located there. So the course says stuff like that. Like, your happiness is not where it's not located, right? He says, and there can be no peace except in heaven, which is our reality, which is love, which is where we originated from. So this isn't where we originated from. This is where we're learning lessons in love. This isn't home. This is school. And that's another powerful thought. I'll say it again. This isn't home. This is school. Okay? Mm. And these are the spacesuits that we wear in this school. We've gone crazy now, and we think we are spacesuits. Yeah. Now I am this body. Now school is home. And now we're confused. And everything I think would make me happy is something outside of myself that I'm trying to find. So I mean, no wonder people aren't exactly skipping down the street. I think I'm my spacesuit. I think my happiness is based in everything that is outside of me, and I think a place that is not my home is my home. So the course says every idol that you worship when the truth calls will never answer in this place. So every false idea, every illusion, every fear, every worry that I keep worshiping while God, which is the truth, calls, will never answer in its place. There is no other answer you can substitute and find the happiness that God's answer will bring. So the course in the next part of that just brought us home with the fact that I don't care how much I worship my fantasies, my dreams, my desires, everything outside of me, nothing outside of me is going to answer like the love and the truth that I really am is going to answer. So if I spend most of my time being unhappy, then according to this, I know that I must be focusing my attention on something that's not real. And the Course in Miracles says anything that is real is always available instantly now. That's how you can tell the difference between something that's real and something that's not. Something is real, you don't have to wait for. It's here, it's in existence, it's available to all of us. Something that's unreal is always something that involves time. It's always something that I'll have some point in the future, or I used to have, but I don't have it anymore. So the Course is trying to teach us the difference between how to tell when we're choosing for something that's going to disappoint us and how we're choosing for something that won't, and so that we can make the right choice. And also, if there's anybody that has a book and you're reading the book and you're studying the book and you're having a challenge with it, then please use this time that we have together to ask me questions or to get more clarification about how to do that or how to read it, because the power of the Course comes through the personal study of the Course. That's when you start seeing what I call the magic start to happen in terms of getting that peace that it's talking about. And weird as it may sound, even though it talks about everything is within, the amazing thing is when the person actually studies it, which is seldom, that's when they start to see a lot of times the things that they're going through in the outer world begin to be healed. But what I really want to do is really start focusing on very much supporting reading it and studying it. Because once you get hooked, it's over.
It's amazing.
Yeah, once you go through the resistance and you actually get hooked on what it's saying, because you start seeing the truth of it, then you won't be able to put the book down. But the hardest part of studying the Course is beginning it. And it's not because it's hard to read, it's because a part of your mind knows that if you study it, you'll no longer be able to punish yourself, deceive yourself, hurt yourself. And the part of us that likes to do that, it's not going to be too thrilled about us doing something that won't allow that to happen. So that's a trip. So if anybody got any questions about the Course or about anything that I've said so far?
I just started in the middle. Am I missing anything by now?
One thing about the Course in Miracles, when you do the oracle thing where you just say, I just pick up the book and I open it up, and anywhere that I read it, you're gonna pick that book up and you're gonna open it up and it's gonna scare the hell out of you. You're gonna pick it up and you're gonna open it up to a section that you haven't prepared yourself for through reading the other parts, and your ego is gonna scare you. So it's okay, it's certainly in the crime. But I'm just saying there are some things in the Course that are so powerful, and it says it at the very beginning that you need the earlier sections of the book in order to deal with it without letting your ego misperceive it and frighten
you. Just a friend of mine recommended one particular chapter, and well, she said start with the teacher's manual, so I did that, and then she said this one particular chapter, and then I just kept reading from there. So you would recommend that I just go back and start at the beginning, it sounds like, yes.
Yeah, that's what I would recommend. You know, but there's no wrong way. It's not like, you know, the Course police gonna come get you and like that and, you know, take you away. We heard you were reading from the middle of the book, you know, you're gonna have to do some time. We're gonna have to take you out of here, you know. No, it's not like that. But I've just, like I said, after 25 years of working with it, I've just seen people scared as hell out of themselves with the Course, and I've also seen people go through a lot of peace with the Course. And and what I like about the Course is that the Course is strong. The Course is not, it has no shades of gray. It's just very powerful. So basically we just heard, look, I can keep wanting everything but God, nothing that I'm going to ever want is going to substitute for my relationship with the Source. We can go after all of them we want. We innocent. We can go out. We can taste everything. He said, but every time you do, you find yourself crying, it's because some idol or some false idea has failed, that has fallen. And so the Course then says there's no answer you can substitute and find the happiness that God's answer brings. So stop seeking outside yourself, because all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be found. I said it again. All your pain is coming from you futilely searching for what you want, insisting where it is. I've made up where it is, and I'm totally searching for it where I've made up where it is, but it's not there. And that's where my pain is coming from. My pain is coming from looking for my happiness where I have made up that my happiness is. I made up my happiness is in you, so I'm going to try to make sure you give me the happiness that I desire to have, and I'm upset because, you know what, you're not giving me the happiness. Could I have happiness? Of course I could have happiness if I would go where happiness is located, but I've decided that happiness is in you.
Right.
And so therefore I'm insisting that my salvation is in you.
Right.
And it's not. And so I'm hurting because you're not doing what I want you to do to make me happy.
Right.
He says, what if your happiness isn't where you insist that it is? Do you prefer that you be right, or do you prefer that you be happy? Do you want to be right, or do you want to be happy?
Happy.
Do you want to be right, or do you want you'll go for happiness too? Okay, me too. Me too. As a matter of fact, the Course says that when you are unhappy, you should hope that you are wrong. Yeah, you don't want to be right and miserable. You want to be wrong if you're miserable. You want to go, evidently, the way I think about things, feel about things, what I believe, it must not be right. Why? Because I'm miserable right now. I'm not happy in my relationship. I'm not happy in my career. I'm not happy in my job. I'm not happy in myself. I'm sick all the time. I feel miserable. I never smile. Obviously, my belief system really sucks. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that we have to actually point that out to ourselves? Right. It's like, how could I be thinking correctly and never get any of the results of it? How could I be a really loving person and never see love? How can I be a really peaceful person and never have any peace? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But we do that all the time. Well, of course I'm a very loving person, but I don't see no love in my life.
Right.
It's impossible. Okay, so I'm here, right now I like to admit that I hope that I'm wrong. And I hope that I'm wrong about every area of my life that I'm not giving myself peace in. I hope that I'm wrong. Okay, and then it says, be glad that you are told where your happiness abides and stop seeking elsewhere because you're going to fail. But it's giving you to know the truth and not to seek for it outside yourself. So what is the truth? For me to know the truth is to know that my happiness does not come from outside of myself. That is my awareness of the truth, is that my happiness is not going to come outside of myself. The weird part about it, as soon as I get to my happiness, doesn't come outside of myself, from outside of myself, it looks like happiness is coming to me from outside of myself.
Right.
That's the catch-22 of the whole thing. The minute that you accept that your happiness is not going to come from outside of you, you meet the nicest people you've ever met that treat you nicer than you've ever been treated before, who seem to be loving and supportive. It's weird. It's weird, but it works. So any questions about or comments about the first paragraph? Have you ever wondered why we ended up here in the first place?
Yeah.
Okay, the next paragraph is going to give an explanation. It says, no one who comes here but must still have some hope, some lingering illusion, which is some dream that there's something outside of themselves that's going to bring happiness and peace to them. But if everything is inside you, then it can't be so that something outside you is going to make you happy. So just by your coming here, you really deny the truth about yourself, because you're seeking for something more than everything, as if a part of everything were separated off and found where all the rest of everything isn't. That's a typical Course in Miracles paragraph where people go, what the hell did you just read? It sounded like total English, but what did you just say? I know it sounds like French. Okay, I'll say it again. The reason why we're here, the Course says, is because we believe that there's something outside of us that's going to make us happy. But the truth is, everything is inside of us, that we were born, we were created whole and complete. So just by coming to a place that it looks like I got to seek outside of myself for everything, and that everything is separate from me, then the Course says that just by you coming, you're really denying the truth about yourself. Now, how am I denying the truth about myself? Well, the truth about myself is there's nothing missing in me. So by me seeking outside of myself for my happiness, I'm denying the truth that there's nothing missing in me. Okay? Then it says, what I'm doing now is I have been given everything, but I'm seeking more than everything, as if part of everything that I've been given by everything is separated off from the rest of it, and I got to get something that's more than what everybody else has. The truth is, I've been given everything, but now I believe that there's something missing that I don't have. And every time I believe that, I'm denying the truth about myself. Because the truth is, I'm whole. The truth is, I'm complete. The truth is, there's nothing missing. Why do I think Spirit has pointed out this section for us today? Is so that it will solve all of our sense of not having enough in every area of our lives. It's a truly different answer. If I were to sit up here and say, visualize making $100,000 a year, Or if I was to say, go home and make a business plan. Or I was to say, you know, if the course gave us the same answers that every other book was giving us, why should we study it? What I need to hear something different than what I normally would tell myself. So I need to understand there's nothing missing in me so that there will not be anything missing around me. So what we're doing for an hour is we are reinforcing that there's nothing missing in us so that there won't be anything missing outside of us. The part of us that doesn't know the truth, it wants to only hear what we are told that has to do with seeking. Right? So our ego is looking for the book to tell us what we need to go out there and seek and do in order to be happy. Because I've made up that you're going to make me happy. And then a brand new Altima is going to make me happy. Then I made up that some new clothes are going to make me happy. And certainly having another relationship would be great. And then if I could take a vacation, and then if I could give me a nice house in Cherry Creek, and then maybe somewhere, you know what I'm saying? It's like I got this whole list of things that I'm going to seek outside of myself that's going to make me happy. So what I want to do is take this hour to remind myself that not one single solitary thing that I have made up insisting where my happiness is going to work. How do I know that? Because it's never happened in your whole life. Ever. Any of us. Right? We receive it. We are not completely fulfilled, really. And then what do? We seek something new. So the truth is, we've never experienced total satisfaction with anything outside of ourselves because you can't experience total satisfaction with something that you know is going to end. Because there's always that fear that you might lose it. And something that you're afraid of losing certainly couldn't be something that you feel complete peace about. No matter how much you enjoy it while it's temporarily available. I might enjoy it, but if I know it could end at any time, how can I totally surrender into something that I know I can't depend on? So I would like to have a sense of permanence that's so real that there's no fear of loss, and if there's no fear of loss, I can totally enjoy it. I can totally receive it. I can totally let myself have it. Yeah, bro.
Just to play with the logic of it, the first part of the statement was the reason that we came here is because of the part of us that believes that there's still something to be found outside of ourselves.
Right.
But once we realize that it's completely inside of us, mm-hmm. would we then not be here?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. Because you're never here anyway. What you really are is too unlimited to ever fit inside a body. Okay? So the truth is you are not inside your body. The truth is your body is inside your mind. So we're never really here. We're having the idea and the experience and the lesson. We think we're separate. We think we're bodies. We think we're on our own. And we are now going through spiritual enlightenment, which is nothing but the realization that you're not. And then getting rid of everything that makes you think you are. You see what I'm saying? That's what the whole trip is right now. I can't enjoy being here until I know that what I am is beyond here. Then I won't take it all so seriously, and then I can enjoy the journey, and then I can express love to people. The problem is we're too blasted serious about this. You know, so once I know that I'm more than my body, then I can really enjoy being in a body, and I can start letting love come through a body, and I can check out the trip, and I can check out the journey, and I can check out the house, and I can check out the car, and I can check out the mountain retreat, because none of it has anything to do with who and what I really am. But what we do is we identify with these things, and then we take our value from these things. So therefore, if I don't have that, then somehow or another, there's something wrong with me, and there's something missing in me. You know, so from the standpoint of at the point that you know that you're whole and complete, you know, all the Course says, Greg, is at the point that you realize who you really are, you go to something completely different. But it makes no attempt to describe what that is. except to say it's far beyond anything that you've ever experienced in joy and bliss. Mm. And the reason why it doesn't explain it is because that would bring it right back into the realm of the ego. Mm. The minute that we are given some kind of a description or definition of what comes next, then we're going to try to fit it into our ego's perception of what we think that is. And so it just says, yes, you're right. At the point that you do recognize your wholeness, you do go to another level. But it's not, you don't die to go there. And it's totally without fear. And it's totally without any of the lack that we think about.
Where I'm coming from and asking that question is, I told you about that experience I had last June, where for 2 days I felt that, our experience being whole and complete, and was in a place of I didn't need to get anything from anyone. And I remember driving down the street and realized for the first time I was not getting anywhere, but I was going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so there was no competitiveness on the road and total participation. It was like a whole different state. And I remember it, and it was a gift that I was there. But I just want to experience that. I'm like, ever since then, I'm like, it's been a journey of, like, I had a peak.
Well, yeah. It's like, of course, if we get glimpses of reality, it's like a preview of coming attractions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, every now and then we'll have those experiences where we feel that total connectedness, mm-hmm. and that experience is supposed to propel us to want to continue to let go of the blocks to having that permanently.
Yeah.
Or else, like, why would we keep going?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why I think relationships usually start out so great, because it's like showing you what it's going to be like when you really get rid of your stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's why people say, well, it started out just wonderful. Yeah, well, I tell you why it started out wonderful, because in the beginning you were practicing the truth with each other. You were probably being very forgiving, loving. Whatever they did was cool. You were overlooking whatever they did. You know, you liked being around them, so they picked their clothes at the table. You said, oh, that's so cute. And then, you know, and then 6 weeks, 6 months later, they put their foot up on the table and you want to chop it off with a knife. You know what I'm saying? The exact same person, but somewhere along the line, my interpretation shifted, right? So that's what I think. I think in the very beginning, we actually practice in true perception. I meet you. I'm turned on by you. I'm attracted to you. I see the benefits of you. I see the love in you. I see how you're such a cool person. And so we come in from that space, right? And then the longer we're together, then I start to perceive you as someone who can fulfill some need, something outside of myself that I've decided this would make me happy, right? And so I'm insisting now that happiness has to come from you. And then I come up with an agenda, and I come up with a script, and so therefore then I start judging you, whether or not you're acting out the script, or whether you're doing what I want you to do. Then I get upset about you not doing what I want you to do. Then I try to make you feel guilty about not what you're doing, what you're not doing. Then I attack you for doing that, and then somehow or another I'm wondering why I ain't getting no candy. You know what I'm saying? I've been kissed in 6 months. Well, you're lucky you haven't been slugged in 6 months. You know what I'm saying? You got it, you know, because, you know, the truth is, you know, you judging, criticizing me, condemning me, and not letting me be. You know, but in the beginning, you were letting me be. You were appreciating who I was. As a matter of fact, I'm sure all of you have had the experience of someone being attracted to you, and then once they get in a relationship with you, the very thing that they were attracted to you about is the thing that they don't want you to express anymore now that you're with them. You know what I'm saying? It's like you were really extroverted and you really extended to people and liked to hang out and the party. You the life of the party and you're meeting everybody. That was the thing that attracted them to you in the first place. But now that they have you, they don't want you to be the life of the party. They don't want you to be meeting nobody else. They don't want you to be talking to nobody else, right? So what they really want then is a relationship with you that you can't enter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what most people are in. Not a lot of people. They're in relationships where they aren't in them. That each person just wants to interact with their fantasy. I want my fantasy of who you are, and not you. Because you are extroverted and you go around and you talk to people at parties. I don't want you. You know what I'm saying? Now I want this idea of you, which is now you don't do that anymore and you just give me your attention. So now I want a relationship with my fantasy about you. And now I'm insisting where my happiness is. Where is my happiness? It's in you giving me all your attention and not talking to anybody else. So what have you just become? You just become an idol. Because now you are something that you're not. I'm trying to make you something. Now, why am I crying? I'm crying because you went to the party and you did talk to somebody. And my idol says you don't go to the party and talk to anybody. So why am I crying? Because an idol failed. A false idea that I made up did not work out. Now I'm crying. A love that I thought was real, I found out it wasn't real. Now I'm crying. Something I thought, if I had it, would make me happy. It didn't happen, and now I'm crying. So that's why he says, we cry every time an idol falls. Every time something is not real, that we've been seeking or wanting to make real, doesn't happen, that's when we're sad. So we're really just sad because of idols, not because of anything real. That's deep, y'all. That is deep. Now, we're going to all go out of here. We're going to listen to this, and all likelihood, we're going to go out of here and go right back idol looking and stuff like that. You know, no doubt about it. Because it takes, I think it takes a while for it to sink in. Mm-hmm. I think you have to hear it. And so how do you handle it? Well, what you do is you keep focusing on what's real, right? And then you don't condemn yourself about your desires for fantasies and idols.
Right.
That's how you go past it. Now, okay, you keep on reminding yourself that your happiness comes from within yourself, right? That you're complete. And then you know since you're in a transition, you're still going to have a lot of things outside yourself that you still put your happiness in. So when you do that and it doesn't work out or you find yourself doing it, just don't make yourself feel guilty about it. There's nothing to feel guilty about because you want to have that fantasy. Or that dream. Guilt is never the appropriate reaction, according to the Course. There's nothing, even, you know, no matter what you do, guilt does not correct it.
No, it just makes your emotions go crazy.
Right, and it also makes sure you repeat it again.
And nothing I think means anything from the first chapter. I think if you can get that in your mind, nothing I see means anything.
And what that means is nothing I see means anything in and of itself.
Right.
Yeah, which means that nothing has any more meaning than I give it to it, that I give to it, okay? This is a powerful, powerful section. If you want to see your life as not having anything missing, and that's what I want. And I know this is in the back of the book, and it's a deeper section, but I'm ready to go deeper.
Me too.
You know, I really want to go deeper. And when you go deeper with the Course, all it means is you go simpler.
Right.
And that's what the ego trips out about, is simplicity. Yeah, okay. So then it says, just by you coming, you denied the truth about yourself. That means you're seeking for something more than everything. In other words, you've been given everything, and the Course says you should ask for everything. If you really want to see your desires manifest, ask for everything.
Everything.
Ask for everything. And then the Course says, well, people are going to think, well, if I ask for everything, it means there's nothing left for anybody else. Well, if you ask for everything, you'd probably leave it where it is because you wouldn't have closet space anyway. I mean, where would you put it? So really, what's going to happen is one day you're going to see that everything is yours, but you're going to leave it where it is. That's the storage fee savings alone would propel you to leave everything where it is. You know what I'm saying? Because what am I doing? Storing it so nobody else can use it. Including me.
Right.
Which is wild when you really think about it. This is really those are my trees. You're welcome to it. And they're your trees, and I'm welcome to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all ours. It's all ours. I love that idea. There's nothing missing. I'll say it again. There's nothing missing in you. Okay? Now, this next part is really a trip. It says, this is the purpose you bestow upon your body. The purpose of your body is that your body seek for what you lack. And the purpose of your body is to give you what would make you complete. So my body's job is to go get what I don't have.
Right?
I need a drink of water.
My body goes to get me a drink of water. You know, my body's job, I should be successful, it's my body's job to go to the school, to do all the necessary footwork, to do everything necessary to accomplish my task. My body's job is to give me everything that I think I don't have. That's the role. And then the Course says what happens is when your body does not fulfill your fantasy, then you get angry. And then it says the anger then is that it attacks the body. And then that's why we get sick. That sickness and upset, even on the outer world, is anger taken out on the body. So if, and it's not just physical illness that I'm talking about. The Course defines sickness as any form of lack of peace. So I'm not picking on people with physical ailments. Because people who are healthy sometimes think that they must have their act together because they're healthy. Or they must have their act together because they got enough money. Or they must have their act together because they seem to have a relationship. No, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have. Matter of fact, you could probably be deceived better than anybody. Because at least when a person is having some discomfort, they're consciously aware that something is off.
But if it looks like your fantasies are being fulfilled, then it's easy for you to further convince yourself that your happiness does indeed come from the thing that you decided that it comes from outside of yourself, and you can stay asleep even longer. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the truth is, it takes a lot more spiritual power for a person who has the world pretty much working their way to actually seek spiritual truth and enlightenment. It's much tougher for someone who's having a fantasy fulfilled to want to go to a reality than a person who's not having their fantasies fulfilled and they're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why the most intense study of the truth happens when a person has just gone through some type of a misery. And when things start to go better, they drop the truth because they don't want nothing to mess with their fantasy.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I'm liking this dream now. I don't want to hear nothing about how to let it go. Okay, so I'll be back later when it crashes, as it surely will, because my idols always do. And then when my idol crashes, and I'm going to go, dog it, I'm not going to let this happen to me again. I'm going to learn the truth. You know, it's that kind of thing. So the person that really enjoys this world, to me, is almost like the person who looks at it like an ice cream cone. When you buy an ice cream cone, you don't expect it to last forever.
No.
And you lick it. You liked that, didn't you? You know? Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
But you're not like, you know, you won't hear me like going, ah! You know, what's wrong, Earl? My ice cream cone is gone. It's like, you expected it. You knew that was the nature of the ice cream cone, and you also knew that if you didn't enjoy it, it was going to melt. And so I'm telling you, our lives are melting. Our lives are melting. What do you mean? Well, while you should be licking the ice cream cone of your life, you're feeling guilty, you're feeling angry, you're wasting your time on grievances, being defensive, wanting to make sure everybody around you approve of you licking your ice cream cone. You want to make sure there's somebody to lick with you. You know, it's like we're totally and completely wasting the ice cream cone. And that's what a grievance is about. You still mad at your daddy for what he did when you were 6 years old is melting your ice cream cone. Because that's a time you could be enjoying yourself. That's deep. Okay, so the key to enjoying the world is to accept the temporariness of it.
Yeah.
The Course says we're doing the most insane thing. It says we're trying to make the impermanent permanent.
Right.
And that's what we spend on. We're trying to make things last that just won't, rather than being in the now and totally appreciating them 100% while they're here. So what would I do? I'd be glad to go to my house and I'd enjoy my house and I'd enjoy my car and I'd enjoy my clothes and I'd enjoy my friends but I wouldn't freak out when the clothes wore out. Or I wouldn't freak out when the car broke down. Why? Because it is an illusion. It is temporary. It was made. It doesn't last forever. It wasn't even made to last forever. So when the battery goes dead, I won't be freaking out like it's an eternal battery. But we do it. You know what I'm saying? I have a flat tire. I'm freaking out. Why? There's no such thing as an invulnerable tire. So if I was just to accept the nature of things as they are, I could totally enjoy them right now with a lot less stress because I know it's an illusion. I don't expect it to last.
Mm. I got a warranty on my car.
Yeah, that's why you got a warranty on your car, because they're guaranteeing that maybe it'll last this long, maybe, if they did it right. You know what I'm saying? But we know that's not even true in most cases, right? Okay. So the last line is awesome. He says, so we are telling our body that we want our body to go out and seek what we lack and to give us what would make us complete. And so we wander aimlessly about in search of something that we cannot find because we believe that we're something that we're not. So the lingering illusion that I need to seek outside myself and I need to get my body to get the thing that will make me happy will impel me to seek out 1,000 idols This will make me happy, 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 right? And then I get that, he says, and then you seek beyond those for what? 1,000 more things that I think is going to make me happy, I think is going to make me happy, I think is going to make me happy. Then I find each one fails me, nothing completely satisfies me. Nothing completely satisfies me. As soon as I get it, I want something else. And he says, there's only one idol that you seek for that will not fail you. You will die. That's interesting. Out of all the idols, the one that does seem to always come through is death. Have thought about that? That's deep. Because every idol that we seek is but our death. Simply because when I spend all my time seeking things that end, I'm just reinforcing the idea of ending. Ending becomes the primary thing in my consciousness. So my idols are my death because I'm not focusing on life. Mm. I'm not focusing on what's real. I'm just focusing on what ends. Mm.
Damn.
That's deep, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because I think I end. And because I think I end, I don't see any sense in seeking for things that don't.
Hmm.
Why should I seek for a permanence when I'm not even permanent? So I'm totally reinforcing the idea all the time that what I am does not last. What I am does not last. My happiness does not last. Whatever it is important to me does not last. And then he says, and we wonder where endings come from. They come from never focusing on anything that's permanent or anything that's real. Which we don't. Because we don't think we are permanent. Because what? We think we are our spacesuit. So that's just like me going home, pulling off my clothes, dropping them in the floor, you walking in the room and saying, Earl died.
Yeah.
Then y'all have a little funeral around my clothes. We go to the, y'all all come to the church and walk past my clothes and feel real bad. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
That is exactly what it's like when we forget our spiritual identity. We totally forget who we really are. And when we forget who we really are, this is deep. If you forget who you really are, then how can you recognize what is being given to you? If I don't know I'm Earl Purdy and the FedEx man shows up and he has a package for Earl Purdy, how I won't accept it. I don't even know who I am. So the Course is saying we're constantly receiving gifts, but since we don't know who we are, we never recognize the gifts when they show up. So you have a ton of gifts that you haven't even recognized that you have because you think something about yourself that isn't true, like you're guilty or afraid or limited or weak or lacking. These are all things we think about ourselves that are not who we really are. So when we hear about the things we really deserve, like constant peace, constant happiness, eternal life, joy that never ends, you know what we say? That sounds like that's airy fairy.
Right.
I don't even see how that could possibly happen. Yeah, because I think I'm the spacesuit. And I know the spacesuit doesn't last. So what I just want to get is a better spacesuit before my spacesuit drops. So I'm going to get my spacesuit plastic surgery.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to jog. And all those things are good. Don't get me wrong. 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 Okay? It's all right. You can do it. It's all right. You know, you can jog for the next 1,000 years. That's okay. You know, but my point is that it's only when we begin to work on acknowledging and getting in touch with the part of us that's real that the part of us that's real can be reflected back to us in our perception of our world. And I want what's real, okay? And so the Course says, how would you experience reality at this level? It would be what it calls correct perception, which is that you would experience your physical reality as constantly expanding in joy. It still would be changing, but it would just be changing into a higher, higher, more evolved, better, and better state. So you're still getting the change that comes with this world, but the change is one that you go, wow. Now, one of our biggest challenges is letting go, and letting go of the past and letting go of things, right? Well, your right mind has the most incredible plan for helping you let go of the past and let go of things. The way that it does it is by the attraction of what's beyond it. I will give you something that's so much, it's like, in other words, if you had a quarter and I said to you, would you be willing to let go of that quarter if I gave you a $5 bill? I doubt very seriously if anybody in here would hang on to the quarter. So it was actually the attraction of what was beyond the quarter that made you let go of the quarter. The reason why I can't let go of my past is because my present sucks. If my present was really fulfilling, I wouldn't have time to think about the boyfriend that I just had, 5 months ago, 5 weeks ago. You know, if when you break up in a relationship, for an example, you never hear from the person again, it's because they're enjoying where they are more than they had when they were with you. That's why they don't call. They're enjoying their new, as much as their ego hates, they go, great to make somebody leave us and be happy. You know what I'm saying? Well, we want them to miss us, right? But what's happening is you don't realize that you deserve more than you were giving yourself through that person. Love couldn't come to you anymore through that form. Mm-hmm. That form wasn't big enough to give you the love you deserve. You were insisting that it is, mm-hmm. right? So the idol failed. Because love wants to get to you. Your happiness wants to get to you. And if your happiness can't get to you through the people that's in your life now, what happens is it starts coming to you through the people that it can come through. But while I'm addicted to the people that it used to come to, I'm missing all the people that it will come through.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening right now. If you're looking around you and it looks like your peace and your joy and your happiness is not being reflected back to you through your experience, it's that you're addicted to it coming through the people that's in your experience now, and at some level you're seeking outside yourself, but the love that you deserve is trying to get to you. But it's trying to get to you through the forms that will allow it to come through. You got a 200-volt love, right? And it can no longer come through that 50-volt relationship you got.
Yeah.
And it can't come through that 50-volt bank account you got. And it can't come through that 50-volt body you got. You got it, and you got to go. You got to get a 200-volt body. So that might call for jogging. That might call for yoga. That may call for what you think of as a different diet. All these things are symbolic of your willingness to allow another level of consciousness to come through your body and to come through your experience. The love wants to get to you, but it's going to come to you through who wants to really give it to you. But our ego, idol-seeking self, is going to try to get it through who is not willing to share it with us, which keeps the pain going, which keeps the separation going. And it's a part of the mind that wants to keep the separation going. And it does it through pain. Because pain makes us contract, and pain makes us go feel separate. Fear makes us feel separate. So there's a part of the mind that's invested in fear so that you feel separate. There's another part of the mind that's invested in love so you feel safe and totally connected. And that's the transition that we're making through the Course in Miracles. You know, so how is today's class practical? It's practical in the sense that now you know every time you're crying it's because you're telling yourself that you need something that's not inside of you. And it's already there. So you still may go out to get it. But you also remind yourself that there is nothing lacking within you, and not feel guilty about playing with this dream, playing with the world. It's the play we feel guilty about. We make up rules about inappropriate play that we make up. Then we go do it, and then we make ourselves feel bad about it. But we don't realize we made up the whole game. That's why cultures vary from country to country. Right? I mean, isn't that the truth? Each culture makes up their own rules, and then everybody within that culture judges themselves by the rules they made up. The mere fact that every culture has its own rules lets you know it's all an illusion. If it's a true universal law, we are all under it, regardless of our culture, race, sex, or background. The mere fact that it can vary from country to country is how we know all the rules are made up. So a conscious being doesn't break the law. A conscious being just transcends the law. How do you transcend the law? It's very simple. If you know it's all made up in your personal life, you try to join with other people who know it's all made up. Then you can enjoy each other at whatever level you want to enjoy each other at. Nobody gets hurt and nobody gets attacked because everybody's aware. But in the meantime, you're not really breaking any laws. Because you realize it's not real in the first place. Because the only law that you're really going to want is the law that says, I really want what's going to bring me the most peace and everyone else in this situation. Not what's right, not what's wrong, but what's going to give us the most peace in this situation. Is it wrong? You know what I'm saying? Is it wrong to go out with a 13-year-old girl? It certainly isn't peaceful. You know what I'm saying? It's certainly not going to be much peace in that. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not a matter of whether it was right or wrong, because I am the 13-year-old girl. Mm. I am everything. But in this illusion, as we've set the illusion up that we're educated in illusion, would that bring me the most peace? Absolutely not. So you want to go in the direction of what brings you the most peace. Because if you feel guilty, you're going to, like this guy Brent Brents or whatever. You know, he obviously wanted to get caught. There was a part of him that wanted to be killed. There was a part of him that wanted to be attacked. There's a part of him that hated himself. That's why you attack. You attack because you want to be attacked. You attack because you hate yourself. And in this world, you're pretty much guaranteed, if you attack, you're going to be attacked. This is not the world that goes, oh, you attack somebody, let's give him a lot of love. That's not this world. This world is a world where when a person attacks, we see attack as the answer to the attack. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if a person attacks here, subconsciously, they are a person that wants to be punished. Mm-hmm. Which is deep. Right. So everything comes out of love or a lack of love. And since he had a lack of love, then he hated himself, and so therefore he attacked so that he could be limited. It's so awesome. It is so deep. You know what I mean? You know, it's like I have insane thoughts, I don't act them out. He has insane thoughts, he acted them out. We're not different. I have insane thoughts. He has insane thoughts. I have attack thoughts. Am I justifying anything he did? By no means am I justifying any form of violence or any form of attack. But I know I have a much greater chance of attracting somebody like that into my life if I deny that I don't have those same kind of thoughts in my mind.
Yo.
Yeah.
That'll bring somebody like that right to my front door if I deny that I have attack thoughts. And if I deny that I have fear thoughts, if I deny that there are thoughts like that in my mind, then I have to see them outside of me to get me in touch with what's going on inside my own mind. That's why becoming conscious is the safest thing you could possibly do for yourself. Because the more conscious you become, the more aware you become of all your thoughts, there is no need to have that thought physically manifest for you to see that you have fear thoughts. So he was a physical embodiment of a thought of fear. And you know that's true by the reaction. He was like a living embodiment of the collective fear of everyone. He was, you know what I'm saying? That's deep, man. That's deep. So, and I don't have to forgive him. The Course says, God is the love in which I forgive. I, at an ego level, I don't have the capacity to forgive. You see what I mean? But that's not my job. Because at this level, I ain't God. Hell, I don't even know who I am. I think I'm the spacesuit. Give me a break. I'm working with that. You know what I'm saying? Let alone dealing with Brent Brent. You know what I'm saying? You know. So the Course. So that's why the Course has lessons like God is the love in which I forgive. Because then I don't have to do it.
Because it's like what you say, that's a cry for love. He's a huge cry for love, but I don't have to answer.
No. Your job is just to recognize that's a huge intergalactic, unbelievable call for love. And guess what? I can't answer it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we could say that's a part of me I can't stand.
It's like if you really, 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 really want to make sure you don't create someone like that in your life at any level, yes, you would. You would look at that fear and you would recognize that you have thoughts like that in your own mind. And just by recognizing that you have thoughts like that in your own mind, then that just begins to dissolve the thought, because now you're not looking for it outside of yourself. You know where it's located. You know, it's in my own mind. He's in my mind. And I've had those thoughts, maybe not in that form, But I certainly would not sit up here and say I haven't ever had the thought of attack. I mean, I hope nobody here is that much in denial that they really think they've never had a thought of attack, which we call anger, which we call manipulation, which we call guilt-tripping people, which we call sadness, which we call, you know what I'm saying? That's just another form of attack. He is just an extreme example of the same thoughts that we have, but then we act out at a much less level. So what I want to do with him is rather than try to fix my mind so that I can see the Christ in him, would be really to just say, God is the love in which you are forgiven, in which you are healed. I'll give that up to the source. I'm going to let the source handle you. I'm going to give you to the source. You're beyond my capacity to see lovingly. That is loving. Just to be able to say that, you know, because...
Well, I can do that today with six people I ran into today.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a really powerful thing just to say right there.
And
Brent's is one thing, but just like walking through your day.
Yeah, it's like the Course says, and, you know, it's like I get from the Course, don't even start with Brent. You know, put Brent all the way at the end of the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the guy that stole my pocket plate. Let me start with the guy that took my pocket plate. You know, but I ain't going to start with a serial rapist. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that advanced. But that is what people do. They go straight to the, you have a class on forgiveness, they go straight to the person that molested them. Or they go straight to the person that robbed them, and they think they're supposed to like feel good about that. And of course, you know, I'm saying no. Don't even begin to start there.
And then we get hard on ourselves.
Then we get hard on ourselves because I should have been able to forgive Brent. It's like no, you know, what's wrong with me? It's like, you know, what's wrong with you is that you are making an error. It's not your job. It's your job to give him to God, because that's what you want to give. Do with your own problems. You want to give your problems to God. The Course says, well, you give him to God. And you just make sure you are not a Brent Brents. You make sure you don't do that. And don't worry, the universe will handle him. Universal law will handle him. You don't have to worry about that. You know, it's like a lot of times, you know, when people are like really mean and cruel and hateful, and you know, you just, you know, part of you just feels like they're just a real asshole. Okay. It's like what I tell myself when I come up on a person like that is, it's enough punishment just being you. Just being him is enough punishment that you could ever imagine. Could you imagine being in a situation where every single person, most people around you, hate your guts and want to destroy you? And not only that, they feel proud. They would feel proud if they did it. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to worry about him. But see, the thing I keep in mind is that if this is indeed true, and at some level he represents some part of myself, then I really want to give him to God. You see what I'm saying? If the oneness thing stuff is true, then I want to give him to God. Because the truth is, that dude is a part of me at some level, somewhere, some kind of way. And so I want whatever caused that mind to be created to be healed. I want whatever caused that kind of fear and separation to happen, that you would attack people like that, to be healed. That's what I want to go for, this source. All right, it's one. I'm doing a Tuesday class over at the Old Hampton Holistic Center, 12 noon. On Tuesdays. Love for you to come, and love for you, if there are people that you know in that part of town, to invite them to come. I got some flyers that has the address and how to get there. Is anybody would mind taking? Let's take one and just pass it. Let me get this last one. And I'm also going to be telling you about a workshop that I'm going to be doing, a series of classes, two-hour classes, that are very in deep. There's A Course in Miracles, but it's all also based on a lot of the things of What the Bleep Do We Know. And I'm going to be sharing with you more about that. There's a couple of things I want to find out about that, though. So anyway, I'm going to do the love offering. I appreciate you all sharing with me with my full-time ministry of A Course in Miracles. I appreciate you supporting the class. I appreciate you wanting to wake up together. And let me say this again. Do not walk away feeling like anything about the day is about you not enjoying your ice cream cone. It's about correct perception of the ice cream cone. Lick it without guilt. Know that you're whole within. Pass it around, Kobe. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is the next class. Denial of the body. It's not about denial of the world. The Course says that's a particularly unworthy form of denial. It's to spend all your time trying to deny your body and trying to spend all your time denying the world. It's about letting go of the guilt. It's about letting go of the fear. You know? And knowing that none of it is the source of your happiness, but all of it can be a channel and a means for your happiness. It's a difference. That's the difference. So love is trying to get to each and every one of you. It may not be able to come through the people and situations and circumstances it used to come through. Those are the parts of your life that you call a struggle. That's just where your good is trying to, where you're trying to insist your good come to you in a way that won't let it come. And so what we want to do today is say, you know, I'm now willing, you know, to have love come into my life now in the form that's best for me right now. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to learn how to love. I'm ready to learn to let love come through me. Of course, that's all you have to say is you're ready to learn, and then the people will be sent to you who need you just the way you are. And that's the ones I want in my life. He calls those direct relationships. Those are relationships where nobody's trying to adjust anybody else for you to have happiness. He says direct relationships, that's where the joy is located. And I'm having more and more direct relationships in my life where people are pleased with me just being me, which is great since I'm just going to be me anyway. So, you know, I think they're getting rid of a lot of stress on their part. I think they're making themselves pretty happy. So you're bright lights. And make sure that you don't surround yourself with psychic vampires. People whose only purpose is to suck you dry in terms of everything you have to offer, but they're not doing an exchange of energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So you deserve equal relationships, reciprocal relationships. That's all you deserve.
So in terms of forgiveness of yourself,
mm-hmm.
Same thing. Give yourself to God, just like you're giving
the
person.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite three words in the whole book is decide for me, decide for me, Holy Spirit. You know, how many words it is? Decide for me, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Decide for me, my loving, right, sane mind. You make this choice. I love that. He said, just say decide. He said, if you don't know what to do, say decide for me. Give your higher self permission to make the decision. Then after you do that, let's say you say, Holy Spirit, make this decision for me about this new job I'm trying to get. But just as an example. If you don't get the job, you saw what the decision was. So stop sweating it. That wasn't your job. You told God to decide. You didn't get it. So So you should say, thank God I didn't get that job. That would have been the worst job in the world for me to get. Thank you. It's that way. If you truly have given it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I appreciate y'all. I'll see you the next time that I see you.